Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Awakening. I'm your host, Heather.
And I'm your co-host, Tamara. Thanks for being with us today.
We are so excited to be back with Topher once again. He is actually our first returning guest to the show, and I'm just so excited that we get to sit down with him again because he's such a near and dear friend of mine, but he is so brilliant when it comes to talking about religious harm and deconstruction. And this month, all month long, we are going to be talking about Dr. James Dobson and the impact his teachings have had on multiple generations of children. So Topher, welcome back into the show. It's so good to have you here with us.
I'm so excited to be here. Y'all are amazing. I love all of the positive impact that you're making with this show. And it's just an honor to come back and be able to swap stories and talk about things with you guys.
It really is. And, you know, you had talked with us before about how you grew up in John MacArthur's church.
Yeah.
And that was extremely fundamentalist, hardcore beliefs, right? And a lot of those teachings that were reinforced in that environment are the same that were pushed by Dobson.
Absolutely.
A lot of these different sects of faith adopted these doctrines and used that spare the rod, spoil the child mentality for generations of kids. Hell, they're still preaching that message today. And alongside that message, they've started preaching to the parents that have estranged children now. And they're trying to make the parents feel better about the ways that they participated in abusing their children and giving the parents peace with the fact that their grown children have rebelled and cut them off, when in all reality, it's just a result of those teachings that caused so much harm. So, and again, I'm just so grateful to be able to sit down with you because you know the impact that these teachings have had. Now, how young were you when you first started experiencing the spare the rod, spoil the child movement?
Oh, I mean, it was from birth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so insane to me, since we're just going to dive right into it, that the doctrine that is taught is that a newborn child has just taken its first breath and that it is completely consumed by evil and sin.
Yes.
And when it's crying and things, that's a form of manipulation
yes.
against the parents. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yes.
This all that this little creature knows is to like be like, I need food. I'm uncomfortable. It's acting off of instinct. There's nothing
yes.
happening manipulative about this.
Yes. And any form of us challenging the things that we were raised under was seen as rebellion and disobedience and worthy of corporal punishment of some kind, whether that being beat half to death or grounded or whatever. I had a combination of all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember one time my dad was so angry with me, he grounded me to my bedroom for a month like I was a freaking prisoner, like took away everything that I had. I literally, all I had was a bed. I was fortunate enough that he didn't take that away. Thank God I had a water bed at the time, because he probably would have taken that from me too. But it was too much effort for him to take that. So that's why he kept it in the room. Like,
I used to hide behind the garbage bin in the bathroom so that, like, at least twice a day I could have like 15 minutes of like some sort of mental stimulation, because other than that, it was the same for me, where I get for like 2 weeks at a time. The only thing outside of schoolwork was I could read the Bible. Like,
yes.
the family is participating in like a movie night, I'm in my room reading the Bible. Or they would assign me essays where it's like, you know, we're going to fill your time now with like, you tell us what the what First Timothy says about having a good work ethic. And, you know, and then I'd have to handwrite it. And if my penmanship wasn't good enough, I would have to redo it.
Wow. That
scratch.
Is wild. That is absolutely wild.
See, my parents like strived on the strong-willed child.
Yes.
Because they said that they bought the books, they read it. They said I was just the hardest child to raise because I was so strong-willed.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I would need that strength to propel me out of that place. by
And
the
the
time I was
reality is,
26.
what they labeled as me being strong-willed or rebellious was actually just a result of me being a neurodivergent human being that had a
Exactly.
lot of questions about the world that I was growing up in, right? I asked so many questions because things just didn't make sense. And one thing about me is I've always wanted to know what makes stuff work. I remember I would take apart radios, electronics, things like that as a kid and put them back together just because I wanted to know how they worked. And that's the way it was with the Bible. Like, I had to take it apart. I had to figure out how this works. But the reality is once you get to the heart of how it really works, the fear, the manipulation, the cognitive dissonance, then you see it from a totally different perspective and you see it for the harmful impact that it actually has on people. And that's the way it is with the teachings of Dobson. Because again, I was raised under that. I was beat half to death underneath that. But then when it came time for me to have my own children, since I was taught that was the right way you raise children, that's the only way you raise children, well, then my husband and I are taking parenting classes. And what are we being handed? Dobson material. And again, we are teaching our children the same things of spare the rod, spoil the child. And when that method, those things weren't working, and my boys were still acting out, we were handed another Dobson book about how to raise boys. And that's where I learned how to use the military pressure points on my children in church to keep them in line. And I look back on that now, and that is outright abuse. Like, I was an abusive parent, and I 100% have had to take accountability for that. I have had to apologize to my children for the things that I did to them unknowingly, right? And they have had to unpack that harm on their own that I have caused. But at the same time, I have my own parents, my own family that will literally turn around and say, well, they did the same things. And they will say, well, I never abused you. I never harmed you like that. When in all reality, they abused me the worst, you know?
I really do want to commend you for having the humility to admit when you realize that you'd made a mistake rather than, shutting down.
Oh, yeah,
I think
absolutely.
that that's what a lot of people, I think that there are more people out there than we think who do understand that the disciplinary practices that they have been taught by the church and specifically by James Dobson are in fact harmful,
Yes.
but they are too prideful to admit
Yes.
to having made a mistake and
Oh,
to
no,
actually.
there's not. Yeah, Topher, there was nothing proud about me. When I realized that I blanket trained my babies, and I realized that I high chair trained my babies, and I realized that I was taught from the age of the babies being 6 months old, I was supposed to start smacking them and telling them no, making noises at them. When they're in church, I was to pinch them underneath their arm when everybody said amen. And I realized that those were things that were taught to me out of these teachings and out of these books. I sat down with my children as an adult, and I said, I have to ask you for forgiveness.
Yep.
I knew better. I did better. But until I knew better, I had no idea what I was doing.
Exactly.
I was just like Heather.
And you just brought up such a good point, okay? Because since we were raised in these environments, we didn't know that engaging in that behavior towards our own children was wrong. We thought we were doing what was right. We
God's
thought
will.
that we were raising our kids in a godly manner. We had no idea that we were mentally, emotionally, and physically traumatizing them, right? And my parents will say, oh, we never abused you. But at the same time, I'm over here at 45 years old, still trying to unpack that trauma from what it is that they did to me that my father still denies he ever played a role in.
But we were taught how to spank a child where it didn't show.
Yes.
Where
Yes.
was the fattiest part on their body?
Yep.
Like, what places, what points you take that belt to,
Yep.
that it won't leave a belt mark. And I
Yeah.
realized that when,
Muscle memory as to how hard
yes.
you go.
Yes.
Exactly.
And
And
that's another thing too, is about Dobson, is his
then, yes.
books would lay out not only where to hit your children and not leave a mark, but what weapons to use when you're hitting them,
Yes.
you
Which
know?
I want to talk about that in a second, but I do want to just kind of circle back briefly to the two of you and say, I I don't have kids and I don't plan on having kids, so automatically the cycle's already broken.
Yes. And I love that. I do.
But I've also seen my younger sibling and the way that she has recognized the harm and nipped that in the bud before it even became an issue. And I think that that's amazing. But one of the things that I will say as someone just who is the child of abusive parents who went through all of that training, when we confronted them as a united trio of their children, being like, these things were not okay, they of course got defensive, doubled down. The fact that you owned things and were humble, I think that it's just as important that you allow yourselves grace and give yourselves grace. It'd be one thing if you were denying, and then it has to be this thing of like, you have to forgive me because I didn't know any better. But the fact that you like actually own it, I think says so much. And it's probably the reason why you have such great relationships with your kids now.
And I've actually had open and honest conversations with other parents. And I got into a discussion with somebody about this the other day, and they're like, "Well, you wouldn't ever give your children permission to cut you off, would you?" And I said, "My children, 100% no. If I am doing something that is actively harming them and I will not take accountability, they should cut me off.
And I
They
have
have
taught them that.
100% permission to do that because I don't want them to keep me in their life and allowing me to harm them." But my
What is
children have been
this
raised differently because my children will come to me. My daughter has
Exactly.
come to me and said, "Hey, mom, there's this one thing that you do all the time. This one thing that you keep doing, it bothers me a little bit. Do you think you could maybe not do that anymore?" Now, I could never go to my parents with something
No.
like that, right? No,
Yeah,
I would have
my
got
dad
the
used to say
hell
that.
beat out of me.
My dad used to always say, if there's ever anything that you feel like you need to say to me in some way that I'm being harmful, whatever, you can always come to me. And I knew from a young age that that's a damn lie.
Yes.
You're
You're
never
better
said
off
that
taking it
word
to
before, and
Jesus.
I'm going to be the one in the wrong.
Yes. And our parents that raised us like that were the first ones that taught us that we couldn't trust everybody because we couldn't even trust the people that were supposed to protect us the most. And it was through this stuff that we actually learned to be a little bit more deceptive, a little bit more mischievous, because we had to hide things from them to protect ourselves from what they would do to us if they found out.
So you both had mentioned before that you were both the strong-willed child growing up. I was not. And it was such a, I was the very like toe the line, make no waves. I'm the perfect child. I make the grades. I am responsible, like totally trustworthy. But, and so they were very shocked when I moved out and became the person that I am now. And for them, it was like, you're this whole new person. And for me, it's like, no, I finally can take the mask off because I'm not afraid and trying to survive every day under the radar.
And I can tell you guys, I always say that when I look at my parents' way and James Dobson's way of teaching, that is lazy parenting. It is much more difficult to sit down with your son or daughter, regardless of age. You make it age appropriate. I started whenever I would get really upset because my first instinct was to grab whatever was close to me. Whatever was handy that I could use to use, right? And I realized once I left and my babies were little, the minute they did something, I was like, let's go get a McDonald's. I would take them into public. I would sit down with them and I would say, okay, what you did upset me. Why did you do this? What was going on? What was happening? When they did something wrong and disobeyed, something that I said, I was like, okay. I was like, why did you challenge that? What made you challenge that rule? Why did you think that my no was not okay? I took parenting classes. I took like four or five parenting classes for STEP, and then I taught parenting classes where it was like coincidences. You got natural coincidences for what you did, and it was so much more difficult taking the time and listening to what my child said than slapping him across the face and saying, because I said so.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
And
how I was
see,
raised, because I
oh
said
yeah.
so.
And my son, I have a son, and he said the one thing that you guys did when I was growing up was that answer right there, because I said so. He always wanted to know why, just like
Why?
me. He wanted to
Yeah.
know why. He didn't understand. And we never explained the why. It's
Yeah.
just because I said so. And he
Right.
said, I will never raise my son with a because I said so.
Right.
See, he's breaking the cycle with his own child. And that's one good thing about being honest with my children, you know,
Yes.
is they are able to break that cycle with their own kids if they choose to do so, right?
You've made it so
Because,
much easier for them now. You've
yes,
given them the
right.
equipment and the tools.
Because
Absolutely.
we're first generation of cycle breakers.
Yes,
Yes. The three of us across
absolutely.
here are first generation, but that does not mean that there's not lingering effects in our babies, and
Yeah.
that they are the second generation learning how to look at the world with curiosity, knowing that they don't have to be afraid of it, knowing that, I would challenge my kids. I'm like, if you can give me a good enough reason for me to say yes, you'll get me to change my no.
Yeah.
Oh, that made them go crazy trying to find reasons to
Like, you
my
basically like, tricked them into learning and like
And critically
developing
thinking,
rhetoric.
honestly,
Exactly.
yes, you're
Exactly.
tricking them into thinking more critically because now
I
they're having
love
to play
it.
devil's advocate on their
Yeah.
own to
Listen,
figure
I have to
out.
tell you, I can't tell you how many times that they came back and their answers were so damn good that I was like, you
Yeah.
know what? You got me. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I can't
Yeah.
say
And
no.
we really, with us unpacking this and seeing the harm for what it is and seeing the impact on our own families, right? That gives us more of an ability to speak on the harm that this has caused so many people. Because right here, we've got three people talking about how it's harmed us, how it's impact our own families, right?
And
And
how it's
with me
still
and
inside
UT,
them.
our own children, or our
Yes.
siblings or whatever, right? But because we are talking about this, we can help other people see how they might be
Right.
participating in harm that's impacting their children.
Right.
I've had conversations with other parents that have gotten just downright belligerent with me because they were so angry because I said spanking was abuse, right? Because they cannot reconcile that idea of, oh my God, I abused my kid, right?
Well, and it's also hard, I think, because if you have that realization, it's not just you taking on that blame. It also
Yes.
means that you have to think differently about your parents and
Yes.
recognize
Yes.
them as being abusive. So
Yes.
basically, your whole
Yep.
worldview has
Yep.
a shift.
Yes. And it's so hard to view your parents as harmful people when you've been taught to look at them as elevated. Because when you're in a patriarchal household, your parents are up here, right? And again, that's also why parents that are up here don't take their children seriously when they come to them with grievances. Because again, you're my child. How dare you speak
About
up to
authority and
me?
hierarchy.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
I remove that hierarchy. I'm like, listen, I'm like, I am your mother, but if I don't earn your respect, you don't give it to me. You
Yes.
learn respect from me. You don't
Yes.
get respect just because I demand you to respect me. That is not what you do in the real world. You
No.
need to know that you can earn my respect and I
Yes.
earn yours. And whatever age level they were at, okay, it was the easy things,
Yes.
I respect you and I understand your boundaries. You respect me and we understand my boundaries. How do we do this together? Now I will tell you, my kids say I was way too easy.
Yeah.
But I could not take a chance.
And
I
that's
mean, it's
another
better
thing.
to err on
Never.
that side,
Yes.
right?
And you talking
Not
about
take a
boundaries
chance.
is so important because I didn't even know what boundaries were until after I started deconstructing. I had
Right.
no clue how to set personal boundaries, especially with religious people. And it's wild because those are the people that hurt me the most. Those are the people that manipulated me the most.
Yeah.
Those are the people that literally, I had one woman literally completely try and destroy my entire life, the entire thing. And I think back on that, and I would have been able to recognize the tactics that she was using, if I'd have been more educated on narcissist and narcissistic abuse, if I'd have been more educated on coercive control and what that looks like. But the reality is I was kept in a bubble for so long, and I was so naive, like naive to a fault, to where people would say things that was just common knowledge and I wouldn't even know what the heck they were talking about or referencing, because I was raised in such a freaking bubble. And I openly and blindly trusted people that
Oh,
didn't have my best interests at heart,
never.
you know? And,
You have my baby's best interests at heart. They would just tell me, they would walk up, women in the church would say, "You need to do something with that." And I would instantly pick that baby up and I'd run it to the nursery. I mean, we were taught to discipline. And if we didn't discipline our babies in the church, there was somebody standing in the wings that was going to do it
I
for us.
remember
There
we
wasn't
had.
no other person that
This
was
is
going to
for
touch my
you now.
baby. We had started going to a smaller Church of God church when we had our youngest son, and it was a very small church. You know, there was like maybe 150 people there, not many at all. Small church, everybody's in the sanctuary. And when my baby would start crying, I would take him out of the sanctuary so he wasn't disturbing the entire service, right? I thought that was being respectful. Well, one of the deacon's daughters told me, walked up to me one day at the end of service, and she said, "I just don't understand it. Why are you rushing that baby into the nursery every Sunday instead of smacking his butt and teaching him that he needs to stay in this sanctuary? This baby wasn't even 6 months old. And you're telling me to whip this child and keep him in this sanctuary."
We were told that.
That started part of my deconstruction,
I bet.
you know, because I
When we
wouldn't
were,
beat my
oh.
kids. And it was all because he was hungry. He was bored. And this same child was the one that I constantly had issues with in different churches because he was neurodivergent and he was different. So when the woman that was over the children's church wanted to take all the kids to the front of the church to dance during worship, my son didn't want to. He was so uncomfortable doing that that he just wanted to stay in the back of the church and play with his little hot box, Hot Wheels cars, right? So I would have a couple of cars that I would take in my purse with me every Sunday, and he'd sit back there and play with them. Well, that woman came up to me one day and she said, "I just don't understand it. Again, why don't you make him go up to the front with the other kids? Why don't you want him worshiping?" And I was like, "Honey, he doesn't want to worship. I don't force my children to engage in things that they don't want to do. I'm not that parent. I'm sorry. But if that's not his thing, if that's not how he feels comfortable, why would I ever want to force that on him, right?" But to her, it was a sign of disobedience that he wasn't being obedient to the Lord. And it was a sign of my failing as a parent because I wasn't making him do something that he didn't want to do. I wasn't forcing him to worship God. And I still look back on that as how insane that is.
Yeah,
Because
you're
if
supposed to
God is
pray.
truly good, he's not going to force a child to worship him, right? Like, what the heck?
Go figure. And we were always taught that you are to break the will of the child and raise a soldier for Jesus.
And that's exactly what Dobson was all about, was breaking
So
the
scary.
will of children. And you did it in various different ways, by corporal punishment or emotional manipulation, using fear, because that was huge too, because they're always afraid of hell and the devil and everything else. And again, when I look back and look at those teachings, and again, he laid out the weapons that you use. And I call them weapons because that's exactly what they are. They're not paddles. They're not belts. They're weapons.
We had a
And
spanking spoon. That was one more. And it was a
Not a
designated
spanking.
one. And it didn't really ever get used on me because I was so scared of just getting in trouble that, again, I was the kid who would mask and was just like, I have to be perfect all the time. But my little brother and sister, especially my little brother, he's the youngest, and he's the one who, like, my parents don't believe in like neurodivergency. They don't believe
Yes,
in
mine don't
me.
either. Mine don't
It's of
either.
the devil.
If I have ever seen a case for believing that ADHD is like something that you can be born with, it is my little brother. And we were homeschooled. So, you've got these two kids that learn very similarly. We love to learn, we love to read, and then you've got this wild child and can't focus. But for them,
That
it's
me.
not that you can't focus, it's that
Yeah.
you won't. And
Yes.
that poor child, when I look back, it almost makes me want to cry because, like, my mom would take that spoon when he started to get rowdy and she'd put it across her lap while she was like teaching him whatever. He's like in kindergarten,
Yeah.
you know? And when she would pick it up, he would already start screaming. And then there'd be the thing, if you start screaming and crying before it actually gets to
Then
you,
I'm going to give
oh,
you something to scream and cry
cry
about.
about.
That's what my dad would say.
Yep.
Yep, I'll give you something to cry about. And I remember him
How is
bragging. He
that
would
not abusive? Oh.
brag to his friends, "Oh my God, I just made a new paddle and I drilled all kinds of holes in it." He would talk about how great it was going to be when he got to crack us with it because they'd really feel it. And I think about that and how
Liked
sadistic
it.
that, oh, he
Yeah.
did. It was
Yeah.
sadistic. You know, I
Did you guys
remember
ever put your
begging
hands up
him.
against
Yeah.
the wall and back up?
Yep.
And if you those hands dropped off the wall when they were beating you,
Yep.
it would beat you more as you fell to the ground.
Yeah. My
So it
dad,
was
if we put
like,
our hands back there or anything, he would crack those too, like he did not care, you know, not at all. And if you wiggled around too much, he'd spank you even more. He
Yep. Or
would. He
wherever it
just,
landed, he would say,
yep.
it's your fault. You should have stayed still.
And
You
he
should have
wouldn't
stayed
just
still.
use, and they didn't just use, you know, paddles. They used belts. My dad smacked me across the face, I don't know how many times. Like, and he would brag about that too. He'd be like, "Oh yeah, that one time she was back talking to me and I just rocked her world, you know. By golly, she'll never talk to me like that again." No, I don't fucking talk to you at all now, motherfucker. So no, I won't ever talk to you like that again. 'Cause I won't ever talk to you again.
And if I ever find you and talk to you again, you're going to wish to God you'd have put me 6 feet under
Yes.
instead of allowing me to talk to you again.
Yeah.
Just
And,
say
you know,
that.
but it just frustrates me so much, you know, because again, we were raised in these systems. We
All
didn't
in the name of
know
God.
how harmful these teachings were. We didn't know how harmful and evil these men were that were promoting these teachings, like Dobson and MacArthur, and all the horrible things that they have allowed to basically grow and flourish, which is the abuse of children, the systemic abuse of children. It is an epidemic within religious spaces. The physical abuse, the sexual abuse, the mental abuse, and all of it comes back to the same thing, that children are viewed as property, not people.
Yes, and that extends to they'll always be that way. That
Yes.
I'll always be your mother, kind of.
Yes.
And but
Yes.
there's a difference between like, there is nothing that you could ever do that would make me stop loving you. I will always be your mother
Yeah.
versus you best believe I will always be your mother, which means I own
Yes.
you. Your
Yes.
word is God.
Yes.
And yeah, exactly.
And that's the way that I am with my children. Like, they know there is nothing that they could ever do to make me stop loving them. They're nothing. Like, I'm always going to love them. But there are things that they could do that to make me stop supporting them. And that's for real. You know, if my kid was to be an Andrew Tate out here graping people, I'm not going to be, you know, supporting you anymore. I'm sorry, I'm just not, because I have morals, you know. But at the same time, in these religious environments, we're taught to forgive those men while we're condemning gay people, right? So
Or
rapists are
Jezebel.
comfortable in the church. They can find all kinds of safety. Pedophiles can find safety in the church. But if you're queer, no. You get condemned in the church instead. You get the book thrown at you. You get the gay beat out of you. It's so messed up.
They forget that there are literally 1,000 times more mentions of the sin of divorce in the Bible
Yes,
than
yes.
any kind of queerness.
And you
And
never hear them preaching against that. They never preach against that,
there's so
really.
many loopholes.
Yes.
There's so many loopholes for it
Yep.
because they think about this. And also when you're talking about this systemic and systematic child abuse that's happening because of these teachings, I want to tell you right now, and I think your dad's a great example of this. My father certainly is. The only reason that they're not taking hands to their wives is because it's illegal.
Yes,
And they're
yes.
the kind of people that would have no
And not true.
problems
And
with Gilead situation where we start
Yes.
to like back up on those
Yes,
laws.
absolutely. My father would be gung-ho for that. Like, he never physically abused my mother, but he mentally and emotionally
Oh,
abused her
100%. There's still
regularly.
control.
Everybody in my household was, abused mentally and emotionally. He took out his physical abuse upon my older sibling because he was a male and they were a lot alike personality-wise. And my brother was like a mirror to my dad of all the horrible things inside of himself. So they would trigger one another, right? And where my dad is a teenage boy just popping off, my dad's a grown-ass man with no self-control in light of this teenage boy. And many times my dad just beat my brother so badly. Like, again, there was one time I had to call the police because I really thought my father was going to kill my brother. And that was why I got grounded for a month and put in prison, basically, in my own home, because I called the law to save my brother's life. And it was actually during,
Issue.
yeah, it was during that altercation that my dad threw me up against the wall because I was trying to pry him off my brother. And my brother had asked me, he said, "Do you remember dad doing that?" And I was like, "No, I don't remember my father physically abusing me outside of spanking me." But a lot of my childhood memories have been wiped away. Like, I have a lot of gaps in my childhood because of the trauma, right? So there are things that my sibling remembers that I don't. And because he remembers that, I still hold my dad accountable for what it is that I do know him for or know him to
Now,
be.
did the police come?
Yeah, they did come. But my dad
Was
never
he
got in trouble.
arrested?
No, my dad never got in any trouble. He never
That's
got
the
arrested.
problem.
He never faced any type of legal complications.
Good old
Literally,
minister in the church
yeah,
in the
because he's a
town.
pastor. He was a pastor. And that's why my dad was so angry about me calling the police, because the police showing up at a pastor's house makes him look bad. It ruined his reputation, basically, in his eyes. No, you ruined your reputation. Like, you
No
did that.
accountability.
Yes. But there was no accountability whatsoever. Like, my brother literally moved out of the house after that. And everybody in the family was okay with it. They still accepted my dad, still loved my dad, never thought that he was a terrible person for what it is that he had done. They literally blamed everything on my brother.
He's
My
the prodigal
father
son.
had, yes, my brother was the problematic, problem child, prodigal son type of deal, And it's okay. Grandparents are going to take care of him and it'll be all right. And that's exactly what happened.
I was the oldest of five, and you know how children in your family, who did this?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, not me, not me, not me.
Yeah.
And my dad would say, somebody doesn't tell me who did this, every one of you are going to get beat until
Yeah.
I can't beat you any longer. Do you know what daughter I was? I was the oldest.
You
I
got the
knew my
beast.
brother did it, and I would step forward. I'd say, I did it. My dad said, you're
Wow.
lying. I said, you asked who did it, and I did it. And he would beat me. He would
Wow.
beat me. And when he got done, I would look at my brothers and I would be like, it's okay. I'm bigger than you. I got
Wow.
this. He didn't care. He was just
No.
wanting to beat somebody
Somebody.
with a
Yeah. Yep.
belt.
And that's
My
so messed up.
experience wasn't as overt in terms of the verbal threat. But the threat was still there, and it was very similar where I'm, 10 and 12 years older than my siblings. And so I thought, if I can be the outlet for
Yes.
his anger issues, which he still only classifies any of it as anger issues,
Yeah.
that's his Paul thorn in the flesh
Yeah.
situation. And I'm like, well, it might also be that you're closeted, but that's a different.
You go, Topher.
If I, as a 17-year-old, can spare a 7 and 5-year-old from facing his physical wrath,
Yes.
that's my responsibility,
Yeah. Yes.
the
That's how I
oldest.
felt.
And to be honest with you, like, I mean, the whole situation's fucked up. We can
It's
all
fucked
agree.
up. Oh, yeah.
But if I had it to do over again, I would still do exactly the same thing.
Exactly.
I would
Actually, I'd probably
always
step
do.
in a lot more.
Yeah. Like, no, honestly, if I had it to do all over again, I would have convinced my mom to leave that son of a bitch. Knowing what
Which
I know
she probably
now.
couldn't have because she
No.
was so far into it.
She
That's how my
was,
mom was.
yes, And that's
Yes.
exactly what it is. Like, I have to hold her accountable for the role that she played, right? But at the
Yes.
same time, I have to look at the fact that she was a victim her entire life. She
That
was
is so
horrifically
true.
abused growing up, and then she got into this marriage with my father where he was better than the people that had abused her before, so she thought he was a good man, only to end up with a narcissistic abuser, Ben, and again, he never laid a hand on her, but he mentally fucked her up six ways a Sunday. I'll tell you what, she had struggled with depression for her entire life, And even when she was dying, my dad only went to go visit her once a day for an hour a day while she was on her deathbed after 30 some years of marriage, And I'm like, I just never could forgive him for the person that he ended up turning out to be, right? Because it was like I finally got to see him for who he really was through that whole situation. And it's like, you're never convincing me you're a good person. Never.
Never,
And
never.
I feel that way about my father as well. And it's such a complex and complicated relationship that I have with, well, I mean, we don't have a relationship
Yeah.
anymore, but the way that I think about my mother,
Yes. Yeah.
because to your point, she is complicit. She supported.
Yep.
There were times that she did not agree, but allowed it to happen.
Yes, yes. Or she
And
made
she knew what was
excuses or,
happening.
yeah.
Yeah, she chose consistently, she chose her husband over her
Yes,
children. And to
yes.
me, that is so egregious. But at
Yes.
the same time, she is a victim.
Yep.
And I often think about what would she be like if she had never met my father?
Yeah.
Because she moved out to the East Coast. She lost all contact with her siblings. Her sister just died of cancer this past year, and she didn't even go to the funeral.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Just like
Yeah.
total
Yeah.
cut off disconnect. And I know that that's because of him. I know
Yep.
that's because of Jeff Jackson.
Yeah.
And she dropped out of college, even though she was brilliant, so that she could work full time to support him going to
Yep.
school and not having to work.
Oh,
And get all of his degrees. And she has stood by him through the abuse of her children, through the spiritual and emotional abuse of the congregations. And
yeah.
then when the congregations had enough and booted him, or he had just gotten as much as he possibly could from them and decided to flee and find a new situation, she stood by him. She stood by him every single
Yep.
time he had to move back in. With his own parents, having a
Yeah.
wife and at that point two children at
Wow.
home, like it's mind blowing to me. And I know because of how smart she is, and I get so much of myself from her.
Yeah.
I really truly do. And I recognize that, and it breaks my heart to think that, like, oh man, you and I could have had the like most amazing relationship.
Yep.
It could have been one of those unhealthy mom with a gay son where we're best friends,
Yes,
right?
yes, yes.
But it really speaks to the power of manipulation by these
Yes.
religious men who have a lot of charisma and are able to use these tactics.
Yes.
Because what mother automatically wants to inflict physical pain on
Yeah.
their child? Like
Most don't,
maybe you have a moment where you're like
My
scared,
mom.
and well, there are sadistic people.
Yeah.
For different reasons.
I honestly feel that it is a good thing my parents were saved because they were sadistic.
Yeah.
It
Yep.
is a good thing they had Jesus.
Are they
God
one of the people who are
knows.
like, if it weren't for Jesus, I could be a serial killer?
If it wasn't for Jesus, that this is what would be happening right now.
Yeah. And that's crazy because, my mom was a lot like, I would say that she was a lot like your mom. Like, because she was one of my best friends. She absolutely was the closest person to me. If she was still alive, she would probably be fully deconstructed at this point. Because she just loved people. She loved people so much. And that's why I end up having a heart for loving other people. It was through my mother that taught me to love, like, the drunks and the gay people. She was the only person I knew growing up that actually had a gay friend, And my mom always loved outside of that box of what she was told she was allowed to operate in. And I learned that from her. But at the same time, she loved people to a fault. Like my father, because she would make excuses for his bad behavior. She would make excuses for the horrible things that he would say and do or how he harmed us, Oh, you just know how your dad is, And it's like, yeah,
Like it was a
I do.
joke.
He actually was the one who taught me exactly what I didn't want in a partner
It's like,
because I
I'll never
snapped.
forget. The reason why I say this is my mom is a very loving and good mom to my other siblings that stayed in the church.
Yeah.
To the other people in the church, you couldn't find a more godlier woman and kinder
Yeah.
woman. But after my sister had to come forth before the church and admit to what my dad was doing, my mother called me for like one of the only times and asked me point blank, did my dad fill in the blanks do this to me? And I was like, well, why are you asking me now? Now, I had left the church now for like 2 or 3 years. And she's like, well, because I want to know. I'm like, it's too
Now you do.
late. But now you do. If you had to ask me that question, you already know the answer. And she looked at me, and I'll never forget it. She was on the phone. She goes, well, I just want you to know, I am not giving up my man for the 5 kids that I bared. And I'm like, and I have to tell you now, that is why I'll never have anything to do with you, because there is nothing in this world that's more important to me than that my 3 babies. And to think that you can sit on a phone call conversation with me and tell me that I meant nothing to you tells me that you were not only complicit, you were also making sure you supported him in his actions, and he knew it.
And it's wild because it's these parents that raised us to actually not do the same things that they did. It's because my mother was so scared to leave my father that I realized that there was no way I would ever be a parent that would put my children's well-being above my partner's. Ever. Not in a million years. I don't care how much I love that man, but if you are harming my children in any way, this is not going to be a relationship that we make excuses for. I was never going to be that mama.
First of all, like imagine, Tamara, as you're like talking about your story, imagine a mother viewing her daughters as competition
Yes,
for
my
her
mom did.
husband. That is insane.
It's so messed up.
Insane. Insane. I'll never forget it. I've told this, I don't think here before, but the worst beating that I ever received, because we were Pentecostal, we weren't allowed to go to the beach and take off our clothes. But my brothers, we all went as a family. My brothers took off their things and they had shorts on underneath. And I was like, well, that's not fair for me to go swimming in a jean skirt and a big old shirt. Now I had a sports bra on underneath, right? And my dad was like, well, you're with the family. There's no one on the beach. I took it off. I can't tell you. I never thought I did anything wrong. I went swimming in the beach and was having a good time. I got back in that house. My mom got one of them wire hangers, untwisted it, bent it in half. And I didn't even see it coming, Topher. I did not even know what happened to me. But that was like the worst beating that I ever received. And finally, when I asked her why, she's like, how dare you not hold up my convictions? Now, looking back, I know what she did. She wasn't upset that I took off the clothes and wore a bathing suit. She was upset because she knew my dad was a fucking creep. But instead of putting it at the feet of where the burden lied, I received the worst beating of my life. And I can tell you guys, I wasn't able to sit down because of the welts and because of the marks that broke through the skin. And it was all because I thought it was because I was trying to wear a bathing suit because I was so young. I did hadn't re didn't realize at all until I left and realized it was because my mother may have said she loved me, but she hated me.
Yeah. And
I didn't
this is
know
so
this until a
crazy.
couple of years ago, but I was having a kind of a deep discussion with my younger sibling, Ezra, who's non-binary, much like I am, but born female. And I did not know that any of this was happening, and neither did my brother. I'm sure my father did, but my mom had so many conversations with her as she was going through puberty and developing about what you're allowed to wear in your own room
Yeah.
versus if you were even
Yes.
like going down the hallway to the bathroom, and the reason is because you don't want to cause your brothers and your father
Yes.
trouble. And when
Listen.
she told
Yep.
me
And that's
that,
so fucked up.
I literally had to like swallow down the vomit to
Yes.
think that this is where these people's mind is.
Yes.
I would be lusting after my own sister. Well, I guess
Yes.
you know what? It makes sense though, because I mean, look at the Bible. It happens
Right.
all
And
the time.
we had a situation like that happen. My husband and I, we bought a house, okay? And we had four kids, so that's a lot of kids. But we bought this house, and the basement of the house was finished out. There was a bedroom on one side and a bedroom on the other side, but there was a door that connected both of those bedrooms. My twin boys took one of the bedrooms, and then my eldest daughter took the one on the other side of that door. And I remember my mother-in-law asking me, "Do you think it's a good idea putting Caitlin down there with her brothers?" I was like, dude, there's a freaking door between them, first of all. And second of all, my kids aren't perving on each other. Why are you even thinking
Why do you
in
think
that
that?
manner of thought? Like, my children are just brothers and sisters. They're not fantasizing about each other. That,
Yeah.
like, my kids would have never, like, even considered doing anything like that with each other, right? But that's where her head immediately went, is those
Yeah.
children are going to be fooling around. And I'm
I
like,
was
who put
thinking,
that idea in your head in the first place? Because that is sick. So sick.
I
And
was
then,
13 years old when my father first, one of many conversations, sat me
yeah.
down. And like, there was no context for it. It was out of the blue. But all of a sudden, I have to see him in his office. I'm 13 years old. He sits me down and, without any sort of introduction, it says to me, like, with this intense, I mean, he just, you could see like his face turning like white. He was so almost
Yeah.
like angry, like so pinched. And he was like, if I ever find out that you have touched your sister, who at this point would have been 4 years old, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
If I
Wow,
ever
that's
find
so
out that
messed
you've
up.
done that, you don't even want to know what is going to happen to you. And I grew up thinking, first of all, it made me incredibly uncomfortable,
Yeah.
obviously.
Yeah.
I'm like, Dad, I'm gay. You're not even worried about my little brother. But yeah, I was incredibly uncomfortable. And you know, that happened many times as I was growing older through my teen years. But then I realized he has a very strange relationship with his youngest sister, who is the same age difference as I
Ooh.
am with my younger sister. And then I started to, and then having conversations with Ezra about these things since then, it made me wonder, like, was my mom saying that out of like actual concern?
Yeah.
And was my father like coming at this not from a let me protect my daughter from any kind of impurity, or was it a an ownership
I
and a
did this,
I
and
don't
I'm
want
afraid you'll do it too.
and I don't want to have to compete with
Yeah.
the next male that's growing up in this household, because if anything's going to happen, she's mine.
Yeah,
And I
that's so
genuinely
messed
think
up.
that there is that that's part of it.
That is
That is
so
so
messed up.
mentally, that's so mentally fucked up.
It
Yeah.
is.
It's just disgusting, but it happens. to more than just the three of us.
It does. And the things that they think about are things that aren't even at the front of my mind. We had this discussion before, but like I had posted a video, on TikTok. It was actually the one this morning talking about not going to church or whatever. And somebody literally left a comment about bestiality, or whatever. And I'm like, why are you going right to bestiality? First of all, that's not at the front of my mind. I don't think about bestiality regularly, but why are you thinking about that regularly? Like, you're fucked up if you are the one that's thinking about that, and that's at the front of your mind. Like, there ain't even discussions that I have, right, on a regular basis. But it's always funny. But when I pull talk about religious harm, then they want to go to those weird extremes, like that don't even have anything to do with the topic at hand, to
I mean,
deflect.
the amount of times that I have had that thrown at me as a homosexual.
Yes.
And that's like immediately where their mind goes is
Yes.
what's next,
Yes.
pedophilia and
Yeah.
bestiality. I'm like,
Yes.
what do these three things have to do with each other? Like,
Yes.
how do you go from a an adult consensual loving relationship,
Yep.
or maybe just even a consensual adult one night stand? Like,
Yeah, exactly. Who cares?
who cares? How do you go from that to two instances that are rape, their sexual assault.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Two of these
And
things are not.
again, when we look at the statistics on the people that are actually harming children, it's not the LGBTQIA plus people that are doing this on a regular basis. It's religious people that teach
Team
purity
Dobson crew.
culture and teach kids to be broken and their will to be broken. Because again, when you break a child's will, you break their bodily autonomy, you break their no, you tell them that their no does not matter. Because when you're spanking them and they're saying no, and you
That's
keep
being sensitive.
going, you are taking away their autonomy, you are taking away their consent, and you're telling them that their consent is not valid. It does not matter that somebody is just going to take and do what they want no matter what. And that is so screwed up.
When you earlier you brought up learning via James Dobson, the military like
Yes.
nerve squeeze.
Yes.
I grew up calling that the Vulcan.
Yeah.
I think that it's worth noting that when you are inflicting physical pain on someone while simultaneously making them feel very guilty about what they've done to deserve it, and that they deserve extra if they resist that punishment, that is a very old, very established method of torture and brainwashing that
Yes.
militaries across time,
Yes.
since the ancient times, have used to subdue the people that they have
Yep.
invaded.
Yes. And that's exactly what we see. We see a lot of people that have been subjected to that. They are, I love to say that they are slaves to their beliefs, they're slaves to their mentality, they're slaves to their worldview. But because they're victims, they are victims of this, but at the same time, they're still perpetrators as well. Because even though they're victims, they still continue the cycle. They continue teaching these things to their own children. They keep engaging in the harm. They keep upholding the doctrines. They still champion for Dr. James Dobson and what a good godly man he was, even though we have decades of victims, right? Decades of victims, countless stories of how many
Oh my
people have been
gosh.
horrifically abused, traumatized, manipulated, like in various different ways too, because we're not just talking physical abuse. Some of these children have been horrifically sexually abused. And again, Dobson still played a role in that because
Even
he gave the
the mental
parents authority to do whatever they wanted to their children with
and
no consequences because you are the head of your household. Your
emotional.
children don't have no right to say no to you when it comes to anything. And of course, the children are taught to honor their mother and father. Like, I took that so literally that I didn't even tell my dad no for the first time until I was 36 years old. And I was terrified to do it, right?
I am this no, I totally identify with that. And I've gone through situations when I was a teenager and living at home where I thought that my life was in danger. I
Yeah.
never would call the police. I never looked
Never.
Yeah.
else. The thought that that might make things and would actually make things so much worse, that kept me in line. I was
Yeah.
such a target,
Yep.
like an ideal target for the fear control
Yeah.
here.
Yeah.
And let's go a step further. We talk about our moms and dads, and Heather, I know you may come from pastors, but what about the ministers that continue to teach this type
Oh,
of
yeah.
rhetoric to
Absolutely.
yeah, my
Children?
father still does.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean,
Nonstop.
yeah.
They excuse it, they okay it,
Yep.
they're complicit with it, and they just think, you know what, this is just the way. It didn't harm me. Look at how
Oh,
good I turned
exactly.
out.
And it's always the people
Look
who
how
say
good
it
I
didn't
turned out.
harm me that like aren't emotionally intelligent people. They won't take accountability for the systemic harm within religious spaces or all the victims. They're literally call victims. Like I had somebody literally say that it was a bias, right? Like this is you just have a bias. You took this a few stories of harm and now you're biased. And it's like, and that's why I replied with a video. This is the bias. And then I pointed out all the different institutions that have had these major sexual scandals. Because it's not a bias when the victims are piling up, when we have measurable harm here.
You're just
Like we
following the
can measure
evidence.
it. Yes.
Yeah.
But
But you know
like,
what they do now? Like my mom and dad will be like, well, you see, her other four siblings didn't have a problem and they
yep.
turned out just fine. She doesn't like it because she was a strong-willed child that wanted her own way and was a liberal feminist that doesn't
Yep.
want to obey the teachings of
Yes.
Jesus.
That's me. I'm a liberal feminist and I just don't want to obey God anymore.
My family's story
Oh.
about our the three siblings is that I'm the ringleader, and
Oh,
I was upset because my father wouldn't accept me as queer. And so I made up all of this stuff and then manipulated my younger siblings into
yeah.
joining my bandwagon
Yes.
because I wanted to punish my father for not having a good relationship with me. Bitch, the reason I
Yeah.
didn't have a good relationship with you was because you choked me out as a teenager. Like,
Yes.
what the fuck?
And
Right?
my dad thinks that my brother is the one that pulled me away. And it
I gotta
wasn't
ask
my
somebody what happened.
brother. It wasn't
But
my
this might
brother
be
at
different.
all. Yeah, it was, my brother's all I had left. Like
Yeah.
that's the real reality. When my mother passed away, all I had was my brother. Because I didn't have a father. I never had one of those, right? But it was through my mother passing away that my sibling and I were able to make amends in our own relationship and heal. But we had both started deconstructing on our own. And I think a lot of that played a role in it too, because for the longest time, my brother resented me because I was born 5 years after he was. And I didn't get in as much trouble as he did. I wasn't targeted as much as he was. But not just that, I was a lot like you, Topher. Like, I would try my best to obey the rules because I didn't want the hell beat out of me. So I learned how to perform goodness. And I would
Woman.
do that as much as possible when my dad was home. When my mom was home, it was different. We could be more free because she wasn't the same as my dad. But when my dad was home, it was like, okay, it's time to be the actor now. You're the perfect
Right.
child. Don't do anything to upset daddy, right? And that's how I lived. So I didn't get in as much trouble as he did. And he really
Performance and
resented me for that
transaction.
because he felt like he was always getting beat, right? But it
Yes.
was just because he was the focus of dad's ire the most. Like dad took everything out on him instead of taking it out on me. And
Right.
now that, he's had an opportunity to hear more of what it is that I endured even after he moved out, because he didn't realize how strict things got in the house after he moved out, how much more extreme dad became. He wasn't subject to all of that. I was left there all by myself.
Yeah.
And part of me was so brokenhearted because he abandoned me.
Yeah.
He abandoned me with those monsters, And I had some resentment there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Topher, it's been a pleasure having you again on our show. Please like, share, respond. If you have a story, please reach out to Heather or I. We would love to interview you. Thank you so much, everybody. Goodbye.
And Topher, I just want to say thank you again for hanging out with us today. You are such a brilliant human being and so open and raw with sharing the things that you have experienced. You know, it's not easy for us to get on these platforms and talk about the things that we endured, especially in the environments that we grew up where we were forbidden from speaking about family business outside of the home, right? I swear to God, my family probably wishes I would shut the hell up by now, but I'm not gonna.
But I
So.
think it's really important to do this. And I think that there is a lot of power and
Yes.
comfort and healing in coming together and sharing stories with each other.
And as always, you guys, we really do appreciate you guys hanging out with us today. Again, all this month, we are going to be talking about Dr. James Dobson. You've got three people here that have been negatively impacted by his teachings, you know. And again, his teachings have impacted generations of children. Some of us are no contact with our families now as a result. And it's not lost on me that Focus on the Family is now trying to reach out to the parents and make them feel better about their children having cut them off. So, if you are one of these people that has a story and you'd like to share it with us, please shoot us a message. You know, we are available on multiple platforms, or shoot us an email at theawakeningpod@gmail.com. We appreciate you guys being here, hanging out with us. And again, we could not do this work without you. Thank you so much. Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by the host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2026.